welcome back to another episode of Major Mystery. Today, I thought that I would go over Bessyar Mazda's case as well as Elisa Lam's case. But first, we are gonna go over my first quarter goals for the first of the year through March in 2021. These are the things that I hope to accomplish and hope to achieve and hope to somehow better my life and make my life a more peaceful being. So what I have today is the Clever Fox Planner that I have been using. This is my first quarter fully using it, and I'm super excited about it. And I thought I would share with you my spiritual goals, my fun and recreation goals, as well as my personal development goals with you today. My first personal development goal for the first quarter is to reduce my screen time by 3 hours daily. I find myself, as a millennial, that I'm addicted to my screens. I can't go a day without scrolling through my Twitter, without scrolling through Instagram, without playing Animal Crossing on my 3DS, or without watching or streaming a movie. And I would like to start reading more and stop using my screen time and stop staring at my screen for 24 hours a day. And I would like to reduce my screen time by at least 3 hours during my waking time. My second goal is to write down 3 things differently every day that I am grateful for. There's a lot of things in my life that I am grateful for. There was a lot of good that came out for me in 2020. I had the opportunity to write more. I started my podcast. I started growing my author platform. I found an editor that I love with my whole heart. I got to see my family. There are so many things that 2020 gave me the opportunity to do, and I would like to spread my gratitude by writing 3 things every day that I am grateful for. My third goal for personal development is to start overcoming my anxiety symptoms. My anxiety has been hardcore as of late, vis-a-vis people wearing masks and I can't hear what they're saying, or not being in a clean spot, or my racing heart and my racing mind. My anxiety has become so strong during 2020 that my third goal is to overcome my symptoms and not succumb to my anxiety and not succumb to my depression every opportunity that they arise. My fourth goal is to learn stress management skills. I don't know about you guys, but I work 2 full-time jobs. I'm doing a podcast. I'm writing 2 books. I'm growing an author platform. It's hard. I feel like I'm juggling a lot of plastic and glass balls, and all the important goals in my life are either going to the back burner or being dropped, and that's not okay. So I would like to learn some stress management skills to combat my stress and to succeed and become more ambitious than I already am. My fun and recreational goals are, 1, to finish my book, 6 Seconds Left. This book I've been working on for 5 years. I have gotten to the climax of the book, the final conflict of the book, and I'm so close to finishing it. I can taste it. I'm super excited about it. I'm super excited to share it with the world and with you guys. And it's going to be great. My second goal in fun and recreation is to finish Seventh Commandment, the second book in the series that I'm writing. I just finished chapter 4. I'm super excited about it. I would like to record a chapter of it and get to editing it, and I'm super excited about it. My third goal is to record episodes weekly for Major Mystery. I have been lacking in this department since I started this podcast. Yes, I've been doing a lot of the research for it, but it is hard for me to find time to record for you guys, especially during my chaotic schedule. So I'm going to try harder and be better and record more episodes for you guys. My fourth goal is to create a website for my author platform and to grow my author platform and to gain more followers and to eventually make this my career and eventually record the things that I want to record about, such as conspiracy theories, unknown mysteries, Jane Does, John Does, history mysteries that don't make sense, etc., etc., etc. Instead of sharing my spiritual goals with you today, I'm going to share that for next week and instead switch over to my finance section of my goals. These goals are a lot harder for me to accomplish, and I figured that if I put these ones out there first, that I would have more of a support system to help achieve my goals. My first goal in my finance is to put 25% of my yearly salary into my IRA every quarter. My second goal is to save $2,000 for emergency funds. Emergency funds are important, especially for a millennial like me. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. It's not okay. It's not okay for me to spend my money unwisely on stupid things. So I would like to stop living paycheck to paycheck, save money for an emergency fund in case my car breaks down, or I lose my job, or I get sick. My third goal is to put 10% of each paycheck into each savings account. And my last goal in my finance is to adjust my savings goals along the way. These goals, because I share with them online every quarter I get, I need the accountability. I need to have somebody on my butt all day, every day, saying, where are you at with this goal? Where are you at with this goal? Where are you at with this goal? I need the pressure. And to effectively work on my goals, I would like to share with them online every quarter. So I appreciate you guys listening to that, and I appreciate you guys helping me become a better and a healthier person. Now, on to the episode. Today's episode is going to be another two-parter. I'm super excited about it, featuring Beza Amada and Elisa Lam. These are two leading ladies, two unsolved murders, and two very strange cases. We are going to start with Betsy Amada today. She was 22 years old at the time of her death. She was born July 11th, 1947, and tragically passed away November 28th, 1969. And because she died on November 28th, no one saw or heard anything. November 28th is a holiday weekend in Penn State where she went to school, and she is stabbed once in the left breast and ended up bleeding out quickly in 5 minutes. She's found in the library. Although, the strangest part about this case is that witnesses remember a warning, a distinct warning to the library clerk saying, somebody better help that girl. The two men that gave her the warning and the library clerk that we know is female was never identified. And because Betsy Amada was wearing a red turtleneck and a beige skirt, they didn't even notice that she had been stabbed. She had just been slouched over into a bundle of books. David Wright is supposedly her boyfriend at this time. There is no evidence to support this theory, although they did go to school together, they did share multiple classes, and if you have a lot of things in common, sparks tend to fly. He He does not have an alibi for this case. I could not find one in the abundance of evidence that I found for this case. Although, there was a sketchy professor that I found that put up some red flags for me. His name is Professor Richard Hefner, and the accusations that followed him were accusations of pedophilia, theft, and erratic behavior. And this behavior, for me, if I were to go to college and if I were to be going to Penn State is this huge school and it's a very strong school, and people look at you like you're somebody if you're from there. And if I knew that there was a professor, a shady professor such as this, I would eventually not want to go to school there. I would eventually feel like I would be wasting my time and my efforts going to school here.